If you will, let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 5. We looked at this Wednesday night, and we remember that Naaman was that leper. And he came to have, he was a general who happened to be a leper. It turned out he was a leper who happened to be a general. But he came wanting a blessing. But he brought the wrong payment. And he went to the wrong place. And he talked to the wrong person. And he had the wrong attitude. And he had the wrong expectations. And then, after the Lord sent four servants to him to reason with him, he went and dipped in the Jordan seven times. Did what the prophet told him. And he was made like a brand new baby. Didn't have a wrinkle on him. Brand new skin. He was healed. And God worked in that man. God revealed his power to him. And we're going to see that Elijah, I thought about that too. Some of y'all have been in the military. A general shows up, the head one, a five-star, the head general of Syria shows up with an armed escort. His men were with him, and they had all that silver and all that gold and those 10 chains of raiment, probably about $2 million worth of stuff. That was guarded, and Elisha didn't even walk outside. He sent someone who happened to be in the house of the prophet. Doesn't mean that they was believed God. He sent that servant boy out there to tell him to go dip in the Jordan. He insulted that man. Man's sin of God ain't like other men. God's with them. But he's going to teach this leper something. Elisha told him to go dip in the Jordan seven times, and Naaman's going to come back. And the prophet, he's not just a prophet, he's the preacher. He's Naaman's pastor now. And God's going to use him to teach him some things. He's a babe in Christ. And just like our children, we don't let them be feral. That's what this nation's starting to appear, a bunch of feral children. We teach them. If you love them, you teach them and you correct them. And you say, come on, this is how we're going to do this. And they ain't going to understand why, but you do it anyway. We be steady, don't we? Well, Elisha's going to teach Naaman some things, but Naaman had a complete change. He's hard to be around, had great expectations, wrong about all of it. Verse 15, 2 Kings 5, verse 15. He went and dipped in the Jordan, and he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. Remember before, he was outside the gate. He got right up to the church house, and he wouldn't go inside. And that's wrong. Now he come in, he stood right in front of Elisha. He hadn't seen Elisha before that. He come right up to him. Him and all his company, everybody he had the influence over, said, you're going to come hear Elisha. And if them soldiers said, well, I don't want to go. He said, well, go be soldiers somewhere else. You don't have to be with me. You go hear him. And he wanted those men that he was around to know that this one he was offended by, he said, I want to be identified with Elisha. That's my friend. I love that man. I care for that man. And I want you all to know it because I want you to care for him. I want people to love the people I love, don't you? He wanted them to know Elisha. He wanted them to hear a word from Elisha. But he come back. He returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him and said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. God's revealed himself to me, Elisha. Now, therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. Of thy servant. You see the difference in the attitude now? He said, take a blessing of thy servant. God did that. God did that. Up in verse 11. First time, he said, go dip. It says, Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he surely would come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord, his God, and strike the hand over the place and recover the leper. That's what he thought. That was his expectation. And now he's there standing before Elisha. And he said, the Lord, my Lord, used to be just your God. Now it's my God. He's revealed himself to me. He made me clean. This man's been humbled. And here he is in front of God's prophet, and instead of wanting a blessing, he wanted to be a blessing. You see the night and day on that one? But a whole bunch of people go to church because they want a blessing. Well, I want to feel warm and fuzzy, or I want to get rich or get healthy or something. When the Lord works in somebody, they want to go there and see their brethren and be a blessing. I want to be a blessing to you. I want to have a word from God to your hearts. I want that. I ask him often. But Naaman wanted to be a blessing. And he was given some understanding too. This man wasn't ignorant. He's been cleaned, he's been humbled, and he's been enlightened. Verse 15, he said, "Behold, now I know." He doesn't say, "I think," or, "You know, it probably is." He knew. "I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. There's no little g gods, a figment of your imagination. It might as well be wood. There's one God. And he's the God of the sons of Jacob. He's the God. He saves sinners. I'm a sinner. He saved me." That's what he's saying. "I know this." God revealed himself to Naaman. Now, Elijah's going to teach him some things. Naaman is a newborn babe in Christ. 10 minutes. It's brand new, isn't it? But he's the Lord's. He's that new creation. Christ dwelling in him. And Elisha's going to teach him some things. That's Elisha's job. He's God's prophet, but he's the preacher there. And his job is to preach and to teach. That's what the Lord said we read in 1 Scripture. He said, "Go in all the world, you preach this gospel, and make disciples." That means I'm going to work in them, but I'm going to do it through your mouth. And whenever they believe, I don't care what they've done before. I don't care if they've been baptized twice a week for 50 years. They're going to profess me in believer's baptism. "You baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost." And then teach them. Teach. We just sang it, "Teach me thy way." Thy way is capitalized. Teach me Christ. But I want to know everything about him. He said, "You teach them all my commandments. Teach them why I did things. You show them these things. Teach them how to give. Teach them how to love. Teach them how to sit still and wait on the Lord. And everything." He said, "You go down there. Whatever I teach you, you teach them. I have to learn these things first before I can tell somebody else about it. I don't just read books on this stuff. I live. And the Lord showed me things. I want you to know them. Because he's precious." And I think you'll find him precious too. Elisha's going to teach. And how I thought of that too. This general, I mean, the head man, not one of the generals, the general. He said, "I'm your servant." How could a man go from being a general to a servant? He was there to be, I tell you, if God works in somebody and you have ears to hear, you'll be made teachable. You won't resist every word that comes out of the man sent from God and fight him tooth and toenail. You'll shut your mouth and listen because you want to. I want to learn things. If I'm doing it wrong, I want to see what this word says. I want to know what the Lord thinks about it, and I want to do his way. I'm going to mess it up, but I want to. I have that desire. That's the same thing in Naaman. He had ears to hear. He was made teachable. This mighty general, he said, "I'm your servant. I'm your servant." It says in verse 16, and so I want to give you something. I want to give you a blessing. In verse 16, Elisha answers him. And he said, "As the Lord liveth before whom I stand, I will receive none. I ain't taking no offering from you. I ain't taking no blessing from you." And he urged him to take it. Naaman said, "Now come on now. I want to give you. I got all this stuff here. I want you to take it. Before I was going to buy something, and now, but I just want you to have it." And he refused. Elisha would not take what that man came to give him. This is the first lesson. This is the first lesson. I want to learn this. Do you want to learn it? God's teaching his people something. Silver and gold cannot buy healing of the soul. Or it can't buy God's messenger either. A man sent of God can't be bought. And leprosy of the soul, that's sin, you can't buy it. You can't buy it. Now, Naaman tried that. He ain't got the lesson yet. He just showed up, and all of a sudden, he's clean. And he's got a heart that's just overflowing. But he's going to have to learn. Elisha ain't going to have him start with bad habits. We're going to get off on the right foot. And I ain't taking your gift. And Naaman ain't going to get it for probably 15 years. And in 15 years from now, Naaman's going to look back and say, "Boy, I get it now. Thank you, Elisha. Glad God made you faithful." He has a new attitude. But Elijah knew that this lesson needed to be established firmly before they moved on. Now, there'll come a time Naaman's going to bless a whole mess of people, I'm sure. He ain't mentioned no more, but he's about to bless a thief at the end of this chapter, but unknowingly. But that heart's in him to give. But right now, it ain't the time for that. You just need to listen and learn. You just need to listen and learn to Elisha. And, we can compare Scripture with Scripture. And what I'm telling you is true. I know it from experience. God's taught me. And I know it from this word. Remember Simon, not Simon Peter, but that other fellow, Simon the magician. He saw the apostles. They was laying on the hands of the Holy Ghost to people. And they were receiving the Holy Ghost. And he said, well, that's neat. Can I do that? Let me give you money. He offered them money. They're in Acts 8. And he said, you let me have this power also. I want to have the Holy Ghost so I can put it on people. I want to do this party trick, because that's all it was to him. The Lord hadn't worked in that man, Simon. And Peter said to him, he said, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast not thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. What are you thinking? You can't buy this. And that's neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart's not right in the sight of God. Your heart's in the wrong place. I ain't taking it. Peter wouldn't take it. Elisha wouldn't take it. Now, Naaman's heart might have been in the right place. He wanted to be generous. He was a greedy man before. Now he's a giver. Henry said that Lord may save a tightwad, but he ain't going to leave him that way. He wanted to help, but there's a time and a place, and this ain't the time, Naaman. So just you keep it. I ain't taking it. He was a babe, and he had to learn, and that's going to take time. And like a normal child, a child of God, we ask why, don't we? Little kids, why? 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 I want to know why, and I want to know why right now. Well, you ain't know, just do as I say. That's what you need to do. That's what we tell our children, right? You do it, why? Because I said so. You'll learn it later. But why do we want to do that? Why would Elisha do this? Why would he refuse this offering in Naaman? I thought, what would happen if he didn't? What would happen if Elijah would have took this big old gift that Naaman wanted to give him? Well, right now, as a babe, Naaman's going to tell somebody else, and he'd tell the story wrong because he ain't learned how to tell stories yet. You know that? You ever heard a little child tell a story, and they just get the punchline on the wrong spot? And it takes a long time to learn how to tell a joke, learn how to tell a story, don't it? He'd tell the story wrong. He'd say, you know what? I was made whole, and I gave that prophet $100,000. What's the unregenerate going to hear? Well, I just need to go give that prophet $100,000, and I'll be made whole. And later on in life, as he grows, and he grows in grace, and he grows in understanding, he won't word it that way. He's going to be taught some things. And that won't even be mentioned whenever he's matured. He'll say, God healed me. God healed me. He won't bring up him giving a gift. Right now, he's a babe. And he's used to people giving him gifts and him giving other people gifts. It's a general. There's protocol, and it's got to be recorded. This still happens in our day. If they get a gift under $50, you have to keep a spreadsheet. And I had to do all that stuff. But he was used to it. This is just normal, right? But he has to learn this has to take place not with a host of men around him. This has to take place in private. Yeah, now Scripture's compared with Scripture, right? What did Christ say when he walked this earth? In Matthew 6, he says, when you do your alms, when you do your giving, let not the left hand know what the right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. You're going to give something, you're going to do something. Everybody don't need to know about that. And it'd be good if I didn't know about it, if I was the one giving, if my left hand not know what my right hand was doing. If I could forget about it, that'd be good, wouldn't it? He's wanting to establish that there's no mixing at all whatsoever of getting grace because you did something. That's what Elisha's teaching Naaman. And he's teaching him that the prophet of God can't be bought or influenced at all. Now, the next day, he don't have the temptation. He said, I gave you a bunch of money yesterday. You need to be preaching out of Psalm 15, or I want a message out of this, or I want to sing this song tomorrow. I want you to do a special. No. Elisha wouldn't put up with it. Paul said that. In Acts 20, he was preached to him. He said, I've coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. And he said, isn't that apparel? Changes a garment? Same thing, isn't it? And ye yourselves know, you know, he said, these hands have ministered unto my necessities. What was he talking about? In Acts 18, he met up with Priscilla and Aquila. They were tent makers. And Paul showed up Corinth, and he went and made tents. And he worked all week making tents, and he preached on the weekends. And he told the church at Thessalonica, he said, you remember, brethren, our labor and travail. He said, you pray for us. And you remember how hard we worked. We labored night and day. I worked all day and I studied all night. So you could have a message. Because we would not be chargeable to any of you, we preach unto you the gospel of God. We're not saying we're going down here doing this for money. That has to be established. Naaman need to learn it. The people at Thessalonica and Corinth need to learn that. And we need to learn that. It can't be influenced. Paul wouldn't take a paycheck from Corinth, even though he plainly taught Timothy in the Word of God, said a man's going to live by the gospel. If you're going to show up and preach, you're going to live by the gospel, not by the gospel and something else. The Lord's going to provide for it. And if the Lord ain't in it, he won't provide for it. And if he's in it, you can't stop him from providing for it. It'll come out of the ground or something. But he's trying to teach Corinth this. And later on there in 2 Corinthians 8, Paul ends up taking an offering up from Corinth. He wouldn't take a paycheck from them in the get-go, but after they grew some and they learned something, after that was established, he says, all right, now let's take up offering for Jerusalem. It was the richest town going in that time. Reach deep, boys. This is our brethren down there, and they need some help. You see that? Once that's been established, once it's been taught. Now, there at the end of verse 15, Naaman says, now, therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. What was he going to give him? How much was he going to give him? It don't say, does he? He didn't say take 2 talents. He didn't say take 3 garments. He said take a blessing. It's something I had to learn. You tell me what I can do to help. What do you need? There's a time and place for giving, but it's got to be willingly. If Elisha said, I need this, he's purposed for Naaman. He said, this is what you got to give. Well, the Lord says, whatever's purposed in your heart. The Lord put it in the heart of his people to give, and you just do it. You just pick something, like, I want to do this. Then go do that. Do it. Don't let nobody tell you what you got to give or what you don't got to give or all those things. Just do it. He said, well, what do you need? You ask a believer, what do you need? I told Brother Bob that one day. I said, I need to learn this. I need to stop saying it. But if you need anything, call me. But I know you ain't going to call me. I should just show up, shouldn't I? A child of God ain't going to say, well, now I need this, this, and this, and 2 pairs of tennis shoes. And no, they ain't gonna say, I'm fine. Lord, take care of me. They won't say anything. If the Lord's put on our heart to do something, just do that. It's not set, is it? I had to learn that. I was going to get a bunch of ACs for Mexico for the pastors down there so they could be comfortable in a heat wave years ago. And that way they could study in comfort and start sweating on their notes, you know. And a wise old believer that's used to spread the gospel internationally. The Lord used them mightily to spread. They set me down. They said, don't do that. I said, if them people want their pastors to have ACs, they need to get them an AC. And I was mad, frustrated. Why? That's what I asked. And they said, just wait. Just wait. And I said, okay. I believed them. I trusted them. Lord taught them a lot of things and grew them. I figured he'll grow me too, wouldn't he? Well, guess what? Years later, I got it. And then there's a church called and said, hey, can you put an air conditioner in our church? I said, I'll be there Saturday. Lord, let me do that. But he established that in me. He taught that to me. I still need to learn that if you need anything, let me know. Pray the Lord work on me on that. But Elisha, he was beginning to teach Naaman, neither grace nor the man can be bought or bribed. That's why he started to teach him. The second lesson, verse 16. But he said, the Lord liveth, as the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I'll receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And Naaman didn't say anything. Naaman didn't butt him. He didn't argue with him. He didn't say, well, now have you thought about this? Well, it says this over there. He just said, okay. He had 2 refusals, and he said, okay. Verse 17, he went on another topic. Here's the second lesson. Naaman said, shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules burden of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offerings nor sacrifices unto other gods, but unto the Lord. He said, I used to play religion. He's got a lot of understanding. He really does. He said, everything I was doing in the past, I've heard believers around the world say this. Not that that church is wrong, that church is wrong, this church is right. He said, I was wrong, and the Lord's right. And everything I did in the past was a waste. I wasn't fellowshipping. I wasn't worshiping God. I didn't know who God was. But from now on, I ain't burning a sacrifice to them idols no more. From now on, I'm worshiping God. That's good, isn't it? But he just wanted to give Elisha something. Now he's asking something from Elisha. He wants two mules burdened. You know what that is? He wants as much dirt from around Elisha's house that two mules will carry. I want 3 yards of dirt is what I'm wanting. What in the world's he wanting that for? Remember what just happened? He just despised this land. He despised it. Look at verse 12 again. Are not Anaba and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than the waters of Israel? May I not wash them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. He was so mad. He said, look at these nasty rivers, this dirty dirt. I don't want nothing to do with this place. And now he says, can I have 2 mules worth of dirt from around your house? I ain't worshiping false gods no more. You know, maybe he knew some things. Now he wants to take some of this land home with him to worship on. We read where that altar was established. It was an earthen altar, wasn't it? He's going to sacrifice to God. And he said, that land of Syria that I love so much, I fought for, I bled for. It means nothing to me. And this here is holy ground. That's where I'm going to worship God on. Sounds good, doesn't it? Elisha's going to teach Naaman. He's going to have to learn there's nothing special about a building. There's nothing special about a land. There's nothing special about a conference or an area of the country or whatever. All of this is part of this cursed earth. Okay? It's all this is a build, this is the church house, remember? This ain't the church of God. We're the church of God. This is just the house we have to meet in. It's church house. He's gonna have to be taught that nothing on this earth is anything good. It's all cursed earth. You can take a trip to the Middle East. A lot of people will go over and see Jerusalem and say, oh, this is, and they feel all spiritual and something or whatever. You may have a fun time going there. You will not be enlightened. If I'm sent with God's word, here's his word. You can go if you want to. You will not be lied. You may be captivated by the sights, and you may end up in captivity. You may end up in a jailhouse down there. Leave it alone. We don't worship Lord in buildings. We worship him in spirit and in truth, don't we? That might be us gathered in this wilderness here in this building. This building may burn down. We may have to pitch a tent out in somebody's backyard or something. I don't know. I preached in Angus's driveway. The Lord was with us. That's got to be taught. And Elisha didn't let him take it. I'll bet you 2 kidneys he didn't let him take that dirt. It's not mentioned. I'm telling you, he didn't. We compare scripture with scripture. And not only knowing what it says, but understanding it and getting the principles of it, right? If we have the principle, the particulars will fall into place. If the Lord teaches us about him, then we'll know, right? Look over in Acts 7. Acts chapter 7. I was telling you about Stephen preaching there, and we'll take a look at it. Verse 44. Acts 7, verse 44. Now, the Lord had instructed them how to make a tabernacle in the wilderness, didn't he? Acts 7, 44. Our fathers had the tabernacle of witnesses in the wilderness. And he had appointed, speaking unto Moses, that he should make it according to the fashion as he had seen. The Lord told Moses how to make this thing. Which also our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus unto the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drove out before the face of their fathers unto the days of David, who found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Jacob. Solomon built him a house. Howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands. As saith the prophet, heaven is my throne. Heaven is my throne. And earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith the Lord? Or what place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all these things? Dirt ain't going to be something special for Naaman. He's going to have to be taught that. A building ain't going to be something special. Having a cross or one more things of beads, people wrote prayer beads and stuff. The Lord ain't in those things. He's in the heaven. He owns the earth, doesn't he? His hand made everything. He makes all these things. And then, so with that said, Stephen shoots some sharp arrows to those he's preaching. Verse 51. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, do you always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers so do? You're clinging to all this stuff and these experiences and these tabernacles and buildings and dirt is all it is. Dirt. Same thing Adam was made out of. It's cursed. You're clinging to it, and you're resisting the Holy Ghost. They wouldn't resist Stephen's preaching. I don't like that preaching. You didn't like the Holy Ghost is what it was. If the Spirit's with them, that's what they were refusing. How would Elijah even even know how to address this Gentile leper. Like when this question, if somebody came here and said, hey, can I take some carpet up? How would he say? how would Elisha know this? How had he been taught this? Turn to 1 Kings 19. You know how he learned it? A man taught him. Elijah taught him. Because Elijah had learned it. 1 Kings 19. Look at verse 11. The Lord speaking to Elisha. 1 Kings 19, 11. He said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And he went. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break it in pieces, the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake came. But the Lord was not in an earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in a fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. The word of God came. Not in dirt, not in a place, not in ceremony, not in the way grandma always used to do it. God came. God gave ears and spoke to a sinner. What's the response to that? And it was so when Elijah heard that he wrapped his face in a mantle. He hid his face and went out and stood at the entering of the cave. He come out of that place. That's a lesson we got to be taught. God's not worshipped in things and in certain places. And all. Now, we're gathered together and we have this place. We're thankful for it. I'm thankful we have a place to meet. We don't have to sneak in here at night and risk going to prison tomorrow for doing so. We're living good and we ought to thank God for it. But if it ain't here, it could be across the street or it could be we'd have to go across the border in Arizona or something. We have to be taught those things. The Lord's with us. He's with us. Now, the third lesson, back in our text, verse 18. Elisha didn't even address it. There's no yes or no. He probably just looked at him. That woman who had a sick daughter came to the Lord, and she said, you need to heal my daughter. And he ignored her and just stared at her. And then she said, you need to heal my daughter. And he said, I ain't taking the children's food and giving it to dogs. And she said, I'm your dog. Took a while, didn't it? So Naaman asked him that, and Elisha didn't even speak. He didn't give him a dirt, I'll tell you that. The third lesson. Naaman keeps talking. Verse 18. In this thing, the Lord pardon thy servant. He said, I'm going to tell you about something, and I want the Lord to pardon me. I'm your servant, Elisha, but I want God to pardon me on this. That when my master goeth into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leaneth on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, when I bow down myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing. He's saying, I'm going to go back home to Syria. Now, the king, I'm his right-hand man. I'm the head servant. I'm the general. And whenever he goes to church, that's false church. I know that now. But when he goes in there, I got to go with him. And he leans on my arm. And now he's going to bow down. And if I'm holding on to him, I'm going to have to lean down so he can bow down. And I'm going to bow in that house. Now, the Lord's got to forgive me for that. That's what Naaman's asking. He wants the Lord to pardon him for that. He said, I'm going to go in this false house. And I want God to pardon me. I assure you, Elisha did not encourage Naaman to attend a false church knowingly. I assure you of that. 2 Corinthians 6. Here's what the Lord's word says. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. The Lord's word's the Lord's word. Whether we like it or we agree with it doesn't matter. It's true. It's so. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. I thought to be yoked. You ever seen two oxen out in a field with a yoke on, just standing there? No, they're doing something. They're performing a task or pulling a plow, right? Don't try to worship together. Don't try to, it's like if your child was doing heroin, you wouldn't go down and do heroin with them to get them off of heroin. It's ridiculous. Don't be unequally yoked. with unbelievers? For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? And what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. Remember, we ain't talking about a building. Talking about you. You're the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them. Lord, leave them in there. Now, if they're his, he delivers them. He gets them out. That's what he said. I can confidently say it because he said it. Wherefore, come out from among them. Be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you, and be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. The Lord's faithful to bring his sheep to himself, and we're freed from the law. Christ fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law, right? Now, can we have other gods? Do you want to have other gods? Do you want to have images before you? Do you want to go to that place where they say horrible things? If somebody's bad-mouthing my wife or my family, I ain't going to listen to it long. I don't want to hear it. Best case scenario, I walk away. Best case scenario for you. I won't hear it. If somebody's lying or they don't know my God and they're leading people astray, the blind's leading blind, I don't want no part in it. I can't. I can't be yoked with them. Well, they say some good things. No, it's poison. 99% of poison is water or something good, a carrier, right? Just a little bit of poison in there, that's all it takes. In Exodus 20, the Lord spoke, and he said, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt. I brought you out of the houses of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Does that mean, well, I can have him, and then in second place, I can have another god? No, that word before me, it means on or in front of. Like in order, but it also means in the presence. You can't have no other gods in my sight. When you're looking at me, you ain't looking at nobody else. You know, I look one thing at a time. He said, you're going to look at me. You have no, thou shalt. That means his people won't. We're in Christ. Christ fulfilled that law. But this is the Lord's doing. He saves people. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or earth beneath or that's under the water of the seas, under the earth. And thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. Naaman saying, Elisha, now I want you to pray for me. I'm going to go bow down there. Elisha said, Lord said, you ain't bowing down to nobody but him. Nor serve them, for I am the Lord thy God. I'm a jealous God, and I visit the iniquity of the fathers upon the children of the third and fourth generations of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands to them that love me. You love me? You want to go there? Do you want to go hear that? I don't. And keep my commandments. The Lord spoke that in Matthew 8. He says, other disciples asked him, said, Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father. I got to go down there and have a church service, and I'm going to have set through it, and they're going to have a funeral service for my father. I'm going to attend that, and then I'm going to be a disciple, then I'll follow you. And what did the Lord say? Follow me and let the dead bury their dead. You don't need to go down there. You don't go in that house. You come where I am. That's it. Once you know him, you don't want nothing to do with them places. That's so. Elisha would have told him, he said, you tell that king, if he asks you, you go find you another helper, but not you. Not you. The king of Syria might get offended in that, wouldn't he? Lord said in Matthew 10, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. We know God. We honor God. We fear God now. I can't do that. I'm a child of God. Naaman's got to learn that. And it takes a lifetime to learn these things. This ain't something you get in one lesson, one Sunday school when we get taught. It's a lifetime, day in and day out. And the Lord whittle those things out of us. He will. Gilead brought this up. He said that Naaman may have been referring. He's trying to help Naaman out. He was covering up, walking in backwards on old brother Naaman. And he said, Naaman may have been referring to what used to happen. And he wanted God to pardon that. And that's so. Lord will. He'll forgive his sins, won't he? I'm sure of that. But he wasn't going to go listen to a heathen God no more. He said, there's one God. I ain't going in there. He said, now, I used to go there, and God forgive me for that. God forgive me for all those times that I've been underneath a false gospel. And I feel sorry for those that preach the false gospel. I've talked to them. That eats at them. And they beg God to to forgive that, to pardon it. So Naaman taught some lessons. I'll hurry. Naaman, I got to get to the end of this chapter. There's something, another application for us to learn. Naaman's taught these lessons. There's something for us to learn. He gave him a lesson on giving, that the gospel can't be bought and the men can't be bought. He gave him a lesson on idols. Put them idols away. You don't need this dirt. And he gave him a lesson on going to the house of other gods. Leave it alone. Leave it alone. I hope the gospel is in a lot of places, but there's places I know it is. So if I'm driving up north, I'm going to stop and rescue. The gospel's there. I hope it's all through Sacramento, but I know where it is. That's where I'm going. I ain't going to try out every place underneath the sun. Go where it is. Lord will bring us together in the wilderness if he so pleases. But he taught him these things. And it says in verse 19, and he says to him, go in peace. So he departed for him a little way. He went about a mile down the road and set up camp. Go in peace. Go in peace, Naaman. Verse 20. But Gehazi, I wish it was but God. That's when good news comes, isn't it? We always get bad news, but God. This is all good news. Naaman, I've taught you some things. Now go in peace. Go learn what these things mean. I pray the Lord applies this to you and he grows you in grace and doesn't leave you an infant until you die. Go in peace. And he went. But Gehazi, the servant of Elijah, the man of God, said, behold, my master has spared Naaman the Syrian. He could have took him for a ride, and he didn't take nothing from him. He could have sold that dirt to him. He said, oh, no, that's fine. Yeah, you go sit underneath that church with your husband or your wife and your king, and you come here on Wednesdays, but you go there on Thursdays or whatever. He could have done that. He said, but he left this guy hanging. Hey, my master spared Naaman the Syrian, and not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I'm going to run after him and take somewhat of him. This is the one that went out and told him to go dip seven times. Elijah had a servant. He was in the house of the prophet. He was being taught by the prophet. He worked with the prophet. And through this trial that the Lord sent, he made a new creation in Naaman, and he revealed the wickedness of this servant in God's house through one act, through the confession and the profession of one of his children, of his child Naaman. So Gehazi, verse 21, followed after Naaman. And when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, is all well? He saw him coming. He said, that's that boy from Elisha's house. And he jumped off of his chariot. He got down to meet him. And he said, everything okay? Is Elisha all right? How's my buddy doing? And he said, all's well. He said, my master has sent me, saying, behold, even now there has come to me from Mount Ephraim two young men of the sons of a prophet. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and two challenges of raiment. What did this guy here say? A lie. That ain't what Elisha said. He made this up. Here's this little servant boy run after this rich general and said, hey, I was talking to the prophet. And he said, he changed his mind. There's some family coming in and we're going to have some expenses. And so if you could, give me a talent of silver and two changes of garments. I don't need much. Just a little bit. Cover expenses, you know. Oh, and Naaman. Here's this boy wanting to take Naaman, this new creation. Be content. Take two talents. He told him what he needed. I need one talent and some two garments. He said, you take two. I'll double it. He's generous, wasn't he? And he urged him and bound two talents of silver to the bag and two changes of garments and laid them upon two of his servants, and they bare them before him. And when he came to the tower, he took them from their hand and bestowed them in the house, and he let the men go, two helpers with him. And they departed. He went and hid it in the house. And when he went in, he stood before his master. And Elisha said unto him, where comest thou, Gehazi? Where you been? And he said, thy servant went no whither. I didn't go nowhere. What are you talking about, Elijah? Elijah knew he'd done something. And he said unto him, went not my heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? So my heart was with him. Elijah wasn't just a preacher like we are. This is a God's prophet. And he knew. His heart was knit. I've been telling you this. His heart was tied to that one that heard the gospel through him. Their hearts were knit together. They were brothers now, spiritual brothers. And he said, as he jumped off that chariot, I felt it. And you took advantage of him. Is it time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yard and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants? Is this what you're here for? Are you here to get all this stuff, Gehazi? What's taking place? Now listen to me. The prophet of God, the man sent of God's teaching the children of God something, and the one that's in the very house is the one that's undoing everything he's teaching. He's going behind his back without his knowledge and saying, that ain't what he's talking about. Now, here's the good thing. Here's what you ought to be. I think this. Now, this has been my experience. You do what I tell you to do. Elisha just told him to do something. And Naaman's none the wiser. That's so sad. I've seen newborn babes in Christ be taken advantage of by wicked people shortly after the Lord works in them. And they're generous. And that's a shame is what that is. That's a shame. Whether it's of money, of garments, of knowledge, of instruction and everything else, it's a shame when it takes place. What's the outcome of that? Well, that prophet's going to teach Gehazi something. Verse 27. The leprosy therefore from Naaman shall cleave unto thee and to thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence a leper, white as snow. The very one that wanted to take something from a child of God. The Lord wasn't joking. I tell people that. And they're back talking, but. He said, touch not my anointed, do my prophets no harm. I was bringing up, somebody broke in their van one time at a park. Cameron had the children out playing. They busted a window out and took a purse. And somebody said, you mad? I said, well, if I was there and I could get my hands on them. But I said, that ain't nothing. They don't know this yet. They stole the Lord's daughter's purse. You think I'm hard to deal with? You're about to meet a holy God. That's a child of God. But anyway, poor Naaman ain't mentioned again until the Lord mentions him. Christ is on this earth. And he said, you know, there's a lot of widows down there. And ain't none of them was fed but a Gentile woman. There's a bunch of lepers. And there wasn't no lepers in Israel that was healed, save Naaman, that Gentile woman. Lord saved him, didn't he? And he taught him some things. And I want the Lord to teach me some things. I want to learn. I want to be a faithful servant. I want to be a servant, just like Naaman. He said, I'm your servant. I want to be a servant, and I want to be a son, and I want to be a good son. I do. And he's going to teach us that now. I hope that's a blessing to you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for our brethren you send to be with us and encourage us and comfort us. And grace is on their lips, and we pray grace be on our lips too, Lord. And give us a sweet fellowship today and be with our brethren that couldn't be with us and those around this world. Be with them as you promised you will be, Lord. Carry them through the trials and comfort them and teach them and keep us. Thank you for our great King, our kinsman redeemer, our sweet husbandman. Thank you for this day. It's because of Christ we ask. Amen.